Yeah. So now we started already going straight a little bit. We'll try to intensify that. So just the schedule in the next couple of days. For today, we want to get into the Nedarim topic. We want to do that quickly because that's obviously a more peripheral issue. We did the Tmura topic, both in terms of Tmura itself and in terms of, again, a little bit more, say for mitzvos type issues. So we touched on the Nedarim, but we'll discuss at least the local Makoros and the Nedarim Makoros that I want to do today. And then after that, I do want to just speak very briefly about, where did I put this? I want to speak very briefly about Katan. I started speaking about Katan and Kavana. Again, it's a much bigger topic, but it's critical for the beginning here. So just again to revisit just briefly, because I don't think you had seen it, the question of Kavana v'shchita and Katan, that's the Mishnah here, again, the Gemara in Daf Yud Beis and Lamed Aleph. Again, we mostly discuss it, but I just want to make one or two other comments in connection with another application. So that's, again, the Rambans that we already saw. If you saw them already, then it's fine. Kulin Lamed Aleph Amud Beis and the one in Rosh Hashanah, in Mochamos and Rosh Hashanah, Zainud Beis and the Daf Yarif. And again, the two Gemaras here in Kulin, and the Sugya here, the Mishnah, Tosos, etc. Also, in connection with all of that, the question about Nemanus of Shechita, which we're going to discuss much more extensively, but it relates a little bit to Katan specifically in terms of Edecha Neman B'Yisurim. It relates a little bit to Isha too. Talked about again Hilchos Eretz Yisrael and the different approaches to Isha. I suggested one of the approaches may also have to do with Nemanus. But with regard to Katan, it's a little more explicit. So that is the just very quickly again. I want to do this very very day or so, hopefully. Gittin base of base. That's what the Gemara talks about. Ula Rabba, the question of the yeshiva is supposed to learn Gittin this year, and we did it. So we have something in Gittin. Ula Rabba, starting from Ula Rabba, La Rabba who holds that the requirement of the Fanei Nechtam in a get is connected to Lishma, why don't you need 2 8? That Chakavatari, about 4 or 5 lines in the Gemara. But more importantly, the discussion that it triggers in the Rishonim, again, very briefly, Rashi Dibra Maskel Umeshani and Hacha, Tosas Dibra Maskel Edechad, and the Orzarua here in Hilchos Shechita, Shin Samech Zion. The question of whether you can, how could Katan ever be a shochet, even if you knew for even if you could rely on the fact that his shechita was a proper shechita, in the end of the day, don't you have to? He still has to, report or implicitly by handing over, he has to be neman that the. That the shechita was done properly. So what about that question? And connected with that, also the Makoros a little bit in Sukkah, that's a Sukkah Mem Beis, Sumed Beis, the Gemara there talks about, the Chiyuv of Chinuch and Mitzvos, and when it starts, Katan Ayodeh L'Nanea, Katan Sheyachol Leishe B'Sukkah, he doesn't need his, the constant supervision of his mother. So in that Gemara is also Katan Hayodeya Lishkot, and Rashi and Tosis there, Dibra Maskel V'Hayodeya, and how that plays out a little bit, just again, in Simen Aleph, in Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, and the Shulchan Aruch, and especially the Shach, Sif Katan, Chavzai. So, again, that's just a brief one, hopefully, and then we want to, after that, talk about the next topic after that will be Chulin Shinasu al Taro Sakodesh. We're going to go straight to the topics that come up in the Gemara. So, again, you should just be familiar with the Shakavatariat, of the next couple of Dapim. The Gemara is just trying to figure out, as we already know, how to read the Mishnah. It's sounds like there's a lechatchila, the bidyevet, and the mishnah. That just becomes an opening to discuss, you know, all sorts of, kind of complex, factors or circumstances. So what about katan? Again, what about chulin shenas al taras hakodesh, lechatchila, and bidyevet? And then you have really interesting topics, which we are going to examine, and that is, of course, kuti, and mumbar ochel levelus l'teyavon, and mumbar l'davar echad, and mumbar l'avod azara. All these are, through discussing whether or not their shkita is mechatchila b'di'evet, or omid al gabav helps, it doesn't help. We get into a lot of issues, a lot of topics, and broader questions of chashad and amanos. Part of the discussion that the Gemara has in the beginning, as we know already on Beis Amid Beis, but then in the Shaka Vitaria, just be familiar with the running Shaka Vitaria for the next couple of datim, because later on the Gemara suggests, the Gemara wants to know why each Amora doesn't like the solution of the other Amora. Right, the Gemara is kind of leaving no stone unturned, as they are apt to do. So it becomes clear that there's a debate about chulin shenas al taras hakodesh, whether you treat it as taharos or not. So that's a little later on. I think it's on the conclusion of the Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis. So that's what we're going to discuss briefly, and then those other topics, kuti, mumar, the different mumars, etc. Okay, so that's kind of for the next two or three dapim, and the things that come up agav, sapik tuma, brishas ayachid, brishas haradim, a lot of interesting things. A little karif kachala, but we're not going to do, I know everybody's already disappointed, but, sometimes we have to swallow these hard pills, but since we did do a massive, treatment last year of Karpakhalo, so we'll just touch on one or two local things here. But definitely Klishares, Andaf Gimel Amud Aleph, that's of course going to be connected to the relationship to Kadshim. So those are topics going forward. So today we're going to start now with Darin. I say, and then we'll talk briefly about this. Or with regard to the other topic, just a little bit of Kavana and Katan, etc. I also wanted to just, because it's connected to it, add to, as we probably will do, many times throughout the year, this notion that we've been developing of Shkita, again, it's partially in the formulation of Ramban, also in Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, we already talked about, this idea of Shkita as a matir, and, whether or not it is, always to be understood in the context of Iser Nevela. And that basically that's the hagdara of shechita, that it's a matir, and what influences that. We already talked about that in terms of what it means to talk about behemah b'cheskas yisro omedes, and the impact that has the relationship to Eiva Menachai and to Nevela, and to the question of ein makzikin, me'isr le'isr, that we've talked about. It comes up in a very interesting way. Again, the same idea. In two different other places and more. But one is the question of bittul. What happens if you have a mixture of shkuta and nevela? You have a rove of shkuta or a rove of nevela. What impact does that have? Essentially, the question whether or not. The miut can turn into the rove, which is a large rove and miut question, which we'll discuss also, but not right now. That will come up for sure. But legabe, nevela, and shkuta in particular, whether there's any differences, that's one question. And the closely related question, at least in the minds of some of the achronim and the poskim, is also the question of what happens, when you have things that are connected to the behema, which is nishka, but the shkita isn't chal on those aspects. You'll see what I mean, what they call taloim Darn the Debisri. So basically, just if you can, just get connected to this whole question of kind of cut and generate the mat here, the things that we've been discussing. Can Akub generate the mat here? Is Shkita basically about the physical, tikkun of the animal, or again, the more we see it as a matir of Nevela, you know, and of Avram Menachai, etc., the more, you know, there has to be, you know, some sort of a legal formal status, you know, to the showcase. That's kind of what we have been discussing. So, in connection with that, very, very briefly, the Gemara in Menachos on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about Bitul Shechita Benevela, and at least potentially the opposite. And the Gemara in, again, this is going to be very quick, we're going to deal with this, Chulin Samach Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara talks about Talay, and that's just the Gemara that starts with, here, this interesting, here, the Gemara here, they're very interesting figures in general, but Toloim, Darni Debisra, Asiri Dekavri Sharyan, like in the middle of the daf, and the Rambam Sheev, famous sheets of Rambam that everybody discusses, that's Perik Beis, Ochos Macholos Asuros, Halacha, Yud Zayin, the Rambam, and the Raibid. The Raibid says pretty much what all Rishonim say. The Rambam is the maverick Shita here. And if you want to see some discussions about this that connect it to this issue, which I will be making quick a reference to, one is in Rav Elchanan Wasserman Sefer, Kovet Ha'aros in Vamos. He has a very big piece on this, starting from Tuf Kuf Lamed Aleph, going through Tuf Kuf Mem He, I think. The other one is the one that I came across, Agav, over Yontif, and that's the tshuva of the Avnei Nezer. Actually, the context is, you know, Esrog, you know, Hamurkov. That was like a big controversy, still is a big controversy, a grafted Esrog. But, of course, it touches on, as you can imagine, questions which are very relevant and discussed a lot in Avodah Zarah, especially in Avodah Zarah and Bechoros and in Kulin, and that is what we could broadly call, I guess, hybrids. You know, questions of identity, right? Including gender identity for animals. You know, meaning what happens when something is, you know, not a classic, doesn't fit into classic identity, and especially if it has, you know, more than one, or its genesis is connected to more than one, and in some cases, incompatible, you know, factors. So generally, in the world of halacha, like, what is the status of that? So you have, it's a big issue, kelayim, all sorts of kelayims, actually, kelay behema, you know, kelay begadim, kelay akerim, so it's an issue in that, and it's an issue, again, whenever you have identity issues. So obviously in, you know, in a little bit of the Sprachos, but more in terms of Macholos Asuros, like what if you have all these, and now they can do these things, you know, in laboratories. So it's even, you know, even wilder, you know, really. But like things that have, you know, characteristics, you know, whether there's a conflict between, let's say, their appearance and other characteristics, or let's say, where the origins seem to belie, you know, the identity. So these are really interesting questions, as the goreim, and questions of bitzol, and all sorts of interesting questions, and whether you're b'chalik between different areas of halacha. So in that context, the Avnei Nezer, when he's discussing Esrogim, again, this is a huge controversy, you know, a couple hundred years ago. That's one of the reasons you pay so much for your Esrog, frankly. So there's this, you know, in Agav, that controversy, one of the questions was this question of bittel. Like, when you say something, the miut is bittel to the rove, right, does it also take on the identity of the rove, or it just means that it loses the identity of the miut? Okay. Again, a broader question. So, the sugya in Menachos about the bitul of shchita to nevela or of nevela to shchuta seems like it's that question, because the Gemara there talks about tumas nevela, whether tumas nevela applies to basar shchuta, which is a miut, or more importantly, in the opposite case, the implication, at least in theory, what if you have basar nevela that is a miut, gets mixed in with basar shchuta, right? The other way. So what if basar shchuta mixes in with basar nevela, and the nevela is the rov? Will the basar shchuta part pick up, the iser nevela, and even tumas nevela, or not? So that's like a broad question, and the question that some of the poskim discusses, well, maybe there's a special halacha when it comes to the relationship between shchuta and nevela. That's what I'm interested in, basically, because that's another way, although you could be mechalek, getting to the question of like we talked about maksikim isalis, or and so on. Okay, so if you just look at that very quickly, and I say after that we'll be doing probably kulin shana salt arzakot. For today, longer than it should have. For today, let's discuss. Let's begin to discuss the question of the dark. Okay, I touched on it a little bit pre Yom Kippur. I was interested in trying to explain or give another explanation why, Kol Nidre maybe touched a race or a national nerve, or at least, if people were, Klal Yisrael is like infallible, corporate, instinct, felt that, the Darim was very relevant to the beginning of Yom Kippur. Yeah. I didn't say it. I think it's tough pay Dalid or Gimbal Dalid to check. I think it went down here somewhere. here it is. Okay. Tough pay Gimbal Dalid. Tough pay Gimbal 483. Sif Katan Dalid. It's like, if he's these, they're very massive pieces that he has back and forth between two or three. His contemporaries on this issue. You can really see, this was, a big controversy in its time. Okay. Anyways, good. So let's talk about Nadar. Okay. Avrami, right? This is like what better way? Am I right? What's that?
In
Orcha. In Hukosulma. So, just get us through quickly the Chakravatarya. It comes in here, Agav, we know that. That's what we're going to do, a quickie. Quick job on this. Ella? Bimi Barin. Go ahead. Hachanami, go ahead. That's a question, right?
Correct.
Meaning, every time it says hakol, that's a lechatchila, which such that we have a problem with our Mishnah. Maybe the assumption is wrong, right? So we're examining other evidence linguistically, right, to analyze this. Go ahead. So it sounds pretty bidyevet. Okay, so what do you think about that argument?
It sounds like they're arguing whether or not how much we should be playing up in our and how much we shouldn't be.
Sounds like a pretty fundamental argument. And one of the things that we would want to do, again, we're just going to do this for a few minutes today, is try to figure out, do they really argue about some major principle? And if so, a major principle about Nedarim or assessing Nedarim, or about, maybe even a bigger principle than that, as we already discussed. Right, there are no secrets here, major principle about, you know, the integrity and perfect balance. That's what I'm going to suggest may be a factor here of the system of halakha, or how we look at potential add-ons or, you know, tweaking. You know, what's the status of tweaking, or what's the difference? You know, what constitutes tweaking and what constitutes, you know, really changing in some way, altering, right? One man's tweak can, you know, look like some other man's altering, but, like, what's going on? Is there really a fundamental argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Or maybe maybe their argument is much narrower, in which case Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally agrees with Rabbi Meir, or Rabbi Meir fundamentally agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. You still have two ways to go with that, right? And is the problem, you know, mostly a technical? Maybe they just, you know, maybe they don't argue very much practically. Maybe they don't argue very much conceptually. Maybe they argue about, you know, a what I'll call a risk, you know, reward, or, you know, cost analysis, you know, kind of an argument. I mean, there are benefits to Nadarim, and there are, you know, potential pitfalls, you know, to Nadarim. And maybe they both acknowledge, you know, either that it's complex, or maybe they both acknowledge that it's, you know, mostly to be avoided, but, or maybe they both acknowledge that it's mostly to be embraced, but. So that's the question. Do they really argue, and if so, at a big point, and which big point? If they don't really argue, then what is, you know, what is the scope of the argument, and what is the nature of the argument? And there really is, again, we're not going to pursue this so much, but there really is a full range of views regarding this. On the surface, what would you say, Avrami? You're surprised more by, let's assume for the moment that there is a fundamental argument, let's just say for argument's sake. Right, sounds a little bit like that, I would say, right? Muskal Rishon, it sounds that way? Or it sounds like, yeah. Sounds like, so whose position surprises you most? Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda?
From the second, it sounds more like Rabbi Meir.
It's surprising.
Sorry, Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda says, Tov Mizeh Umizeh, no der. I'm sorry, which position is... No, Rabbi Meir says, "Tov mizeh mizeh she'ena noder kol ikar." Even if you're going to, even if you fulfill it, and Rabbi Yehuda says that "Tov mizeh mizeh noder mishalim." Saying which one, both logically and in terms of psukim, seem more obvious. Because the chitechta lindar laya b'chachet. But then it also says Tova Shalom Tidor Misha Tidor Velo Tishale. So that sounds like if you're going to be Mishale, that would be fine.
Right.
So, right. I mean, Tova Shalom Tidor. So I would say it sounds to me like the bigger Kiddush, like the more obvious view is Rabbi Yehuda's view. Right? Noder Mishale. And again, if that means fundamentally, that means like the only problem for Rabbi Yehuda is, you know, you shouldn't be making promises that you're not going to keep. I think we can all understand, mostly understand, that promises that you're not going to keep are a net negative, right? We'll see in a moment that some of the Rishonim suggest that one might have not have thought that either. I mean, it is a net negative, but maybe it's worth the risk, or, you know, maybe even the result, you know, is questionable, that it's a net negative. But most of us would agree that the net negative of not following through is reasonable. But the idea that you made an neder and you were consistent, you did follow through, right? I think it's hard, instinctively, and in terms of the psukim, our first reaction would be, like, what's the problem? You agree? So I think the Rabbi Meir is the more, if you assume Rabbi Meir is saying something fundamental, right, Tov mizeh mizeh she'ena noder kol ikar, then that requires more of an explanation, it seems, than Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? And then if we continue on, Bafil Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. Avalama Hare Alai.
Hare Alai.
So here, this, you know, that's the end of this part of it. Okay. So what do you make of that? Again, you know, it's hard to say, obviously. The significance of ned of nedava as opposed to neder, right? So Rabbi Yehuda's talacha is only in nedava. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is, again, structurally, it sounds like, you know, really, really, you know, Rabbi Yehuda's in Rabbi Meir's camp, too. He just disagrees on nedava. That's one way to look at it, in which case, you know, we'd have to explain why. So if you think that the whole problem, which is the way a lot of Rishonim say it here, is what? What's the problem? Why is Adava better than there? Well, at least there's less of a chashash, takala, you know, of lo yachal devar. Why? Because this is l'maisa. Because you say harezu, and there's no akrayas, and it sounds like it's done. It's very hard to, it's harder to mess up, right, a nedava than it is a net there. So if you think that the problem for, even for Rabbi Meir, is the cost, you know, benefit, one, I mean, everybody agrees that Darim, they're, you know, they're good. They're a spiritual, you know, positive, right? The problem is the risk. So the risk in the Daba is lower. Again, when Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with Rabbi Meir about the Darim, it doesn't mean necessarily that Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Let's take it back. If the problem, you know, if that's the distinction between the Darim, the Daba and the Darim, so what does Rabbi Meir say? Right? So the answer is one of two things. Right, Avrami? Either Rabbi Meir says, I'm still worried about the risk. He's a little more, you know, he's more like a Beis Halevi than an Atziv, you know. You know, this is his chometz. Like, you know, he's, I can't sleep at night, you know. Even the nedava risk is, you know, too expansive for me. Right? So, okay. But then it's all, again, within, you know, basically the Dharma are good, you know, and the question is how much risk. That's also an interesting argument, right? The risk of violating as opposed to the benefit of, you know, spiritually benefiting, kiyumin.
Future actuary.
What's that?
Future actuary.
Yeah? It's right up his alley. That's right. Yeah, I know that, actually. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that makes good sense. You also could say that Rabbi Meir will say to Rabbi Yehuda, the other possibility is, again, if it's not a technical argument, so then Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Yehuda, listen, you are mechalek between the Darim and the Davos because for you, the only drawback is the risk, right? But for me, you know, I think that there's a fundamental, you know, restriction, you know, that's at place here. And that is, somehow, nedarim are not spiritually, you know, a positive. Or at least, you know, the default is that nedarim are not spiritually positive. And therefore, even if I can eliminate risk, to me, this is not about risk. It's about, again, the balance, the perfection, of the totality of the system, or about protecting, you know, the core, you know, as opposed to subjecting the core to some, not, again, not risk that you're going to violate so much, but some spiritual risk, some you know, jeopardy, you know, in terms of its perfect balance or the question of authority. In other words, if you're constantly doing the darim, so it's, you know, it calls into question, we'll see in a moment, you know, what the authority is for the core of halakha, right? So therefore, I don't care about, I agree that there's a difference between the darim and the davos, and if the issue was risk, that would be koveya, but I just think that that's completely wrong. But there's another perspective to apply. So okay, so that would be the conversation. You know, so either again, this would getting back to what we said. I'll take the question 1 second. Does Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally agree with Rabbi Meir, and does Rabbi Meir, fundamentally disagree? Does fundamentally agree with Rabbi Yehuda? Right. Okay. So these are actually the way it plays out. Right. If it's about risk, for Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Meir, even for Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Meir goes further, then that's kind of a very technical point. And if it's, a fundamental argument, that explains the difference between the Darin and the Davos. But again, we're left with a Rabbi Yehuda who's worried about risk and therefore has certainly eliminated or narrowed the risk in that case. But I think there's another possibility, and I'll take the question, and that is another way to distinguish between the Darim and the Davos, but it doesn't lead us to conclude, even from Yehuda necessarily, right, that this is just about risk. Michael? Excellent. Well, the Ran and the Darim and Daf Ches, we'll just look, if we can look at that whole thing of Michael just for a second, just to read it into the, read it into the record, as it were. Yeah. Or is it Tess Amidalis? Yeah. Tess Amidalis, right? Yeah. So what does the Mishnah say? Very hard to read this Mishnah, right? Not so easy just to even just, what do the words mean?
Right.
Okay. But we do know kind of what it means. What does the Gemara say it means?
It's referring to
Yados, correct.
So the Gemara says, the Doma Hafi Pamar, Kinezer, Shemlon, and Darn. So maybe it means the opposite of what the Allah of the mission said.
Maybe saying, right, I don't want to be.
So, Rashmuel, Omer, Kinezer, Shon, Harini, Alai, the Emmanuel, Harini, Naziris, Alai, the Korban, Emmanuel, Bishua, Harini, Naziris, and then the Gemara has another question. Harini, Naziris, the Marini, the Tain is coming.
Okay, so this part of the Gemara is basically just telling you, how do you even know what these words mean and what this man refers to? Maybe he thinks the opposite. And okay, we've solved that particular problem, but we don't have any insight yet into what's going on. But we do have one very salient reality staring us in the face. Namely, before we just even get to the next line in the Gemara, which is Gemara is going to explain, but and that is that the Mishnah... number one, it implies the difference between Neder and the Darim, but even more shocking... Yeah, exactly. The classification of Nidre Rishayim, again, we don't take lightly, we're no longer in the Tkufa of the Yom HaNarayim, but, we don't take lightly the phrase Rishayim, Nidre Rishayim. Well, basically, it sounds like what the Mishnah is saying, and the Gemara is kind of confirming it, is that a regular Neder that you take, is associated with Rishayim. And if a Neder associated with Kesherim is a non-Neder. Okay, so it sounds like the Dava is associated with Ksherim, right? And that Neder is associated with Rishayim. Again, them is fighting serious words, right? As Shakespeare would have said. Okay, go ahead. So again, this is just a good, important shock of the Tari. Of course, it's the main Gemara. So either way, we need to supplement. But since I'm interested in the, in the range again, is this a fundamental argument? If so, about risk or about something bigger? Do they both agree fundamentally? Right. So this shock of Atari is very critical. So the Gemara originally thought that if you're going to distinguish between Neder and the Dava, that fits in neither with Rabbi Meir, nor with Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning Rabbi Meir should say his halacha even regarding a nedava, right? Okay, that's fine. That ends up, that's two to the Maskana of our Gemara too. Well, we'll see the Maskana there is also that way. But the, at least the Havamina, the Gemara was thinking that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that, you know, Tov Asher Tidar V'Tishalem, that that would apply to Nedarim. And then there's no reason to distinguish between Nedarim and Nedavos. Why? Because Nedarim, the payoff is good enough, you know, or because maybe the whole distinction between Nedar and Nedava is irrelevant because maybe Nedava, the less risk, you know, involved in Nedava is an irrelevant fact. Not about risk. Okay. The Tanya. Go ahead. So here's what the Gemara thinks, that again, even Rabbi Yehuda, right, doesn't make the distinction. Okay, go ahead. Become Rabbi Meir. Oh, so that's the Gemara's Havamina that what? That Rabbi Meir is the one who's going to distinguish. So that means that at least Rabbi Meir thinks either there's something about Nedava. It's true that, you know, Tov Shalot Tidar Afilo Im, right, Hu Yishalem, but that's true about Nedarim and not about Nedava. Why? Because the risk, it was still an improper risk to take, but the risk is proper in Nedava, or because Rabbi Meir thinks that Nedava is a whole different story, which we'll get to the round in just a sec. Okay, hard to know. Go ahead. Oh. So here's how the Gemara actually spells it out. Our Gemara and Kulin doesn't spell it out. Right? Okay. So he had like a practically foolproof, you know, Nedava, you know, operation going there, you know, that kind of eliminated, practically eliminated, actually eliminated risk. But anyways, what's important about this Gemara is that the Gemara itself identifies risk, right, as the factor in distinguishing between Neder and Nedav. The question is whether the other Gemaras that don't, you know, go into this much detail, including our sugya, or when you switch over, as we will in a second, to Rabbi Yehuda, is it still about risk and so on, or is that only if Rabbi Meir was going to make the distinction? Now, it's an interesting, or is it even if Rabbi Meir made the distinction, or maybe there's just no difference? Okay, but at this point in the Gemara is connecting it with the problem of risk. Go ahead. He was saying to him, you're like a walking Alps or something, right? Okay, go ahead. Rima the Talea. Yeah. So, yeah, meaning it sounds like that's a good thing. Okay. So, that's the shock of the tariq. Okay. Go ahead.
In
Okay, well, that part I'm going to leave out because that's, I don't want to get too far afield. Okay, go ahead. Ibai Sema. Oh. So now what the Gemara is saying is, so again, the Hava Mita, the Gemara, first day in the Gemara was at Rav Meir's Makali, not the Dava and Neder. And there's even Rav Meir, who seems to be negative about Nedarim, is positive about Nedava. And there, the Gemara assumes that it is risk-averse oriented. Correct? Now, the Gemara is going to shift it. Go ahead. Oh. Yeah, even though it's not the simple reading, as Bali Tosafot to point out here as well, right? Okay. And then why? Maishna. Okay, we'll leave the rest because then he gets from Lozar Kapar, etc. So basically, both Gemaras, the Gemara says both for Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara has the factor of maybe Takala. The question is it something beyond that as well? Correct? Okay, what is the Kiddush of the, what's the problem with Ran?
Ran
earlier, right? On, what is it? On Testament Aleph. Has a different take, right? What's that? Ooh. Dira maschil bindid kindid vosam, nader benozer v'karban, right? Go ahead. We'll talk about it in a minute. Yeah. Well, he's saying that the, first of all, this is in itself very important. There's a previous Gemara that seems to say that Nedarim are a good thing. What's that Gemara about? Do you know? Famous Gemara.
That's
what
Nedarim.
What's that? Yeah. The Gemara said it's a case of, for example, the guy says, Eshne, you know, Perek Zedek, you know, Masech Tazu, Neder Godol, Nadar. That's the Gemara in Chesam Aleph, right? The Lelokei Yisrael. That's the famous Gemara, because the Gemara says, V'ho Nishba, V'ho Mujba, V'ho Meidhu. Right? It's, the Shavua should be meaningless, because it says, V'ho Gisa, V'ho Yomam, V'laila, or something like that. Right? So one answer in the Gemara is that it's Lizruzei Napshe. So it sounds like being no there is a good thing. It's called Zrizus, right? I know I have to get your question. Just give me one more second. Yeah, so how can you have anybody who holds that it's Nidre Rishayim if you say Zrizus? So the Ran points out, Lefish, Enak Sherim, I'm sorry, Vashra Avdim Lizruzei Napshe Yub Nishbaim, Lidvar Mitzvah, Hahi Shvua Lo Mikri Nadava, right, Shari Kvar Hei Mechuyavim L'Kayim Samitzvah. In general, yes, he's not answering that question, but what he says is important, meaning you should know that that Gemara isn't the case where you are adding to the corpus of Torah, like saying, oh, Torah is insufficient, or I can do better, or whatever it is. That's not what's happening there. You're just reinforcing your already existing obligation with a Shvua or a Neder, and whether that's a Shvua or whether that's a Neder. So that's a little bit of a different story, right? Especially, again, if you think that's about risk, well, maybe there's still risk, although there's less risk because you have to do it anyway. If you think it's about balance, you know, it's not that problem at all, as we'll get to in a minute. Okay, Vigal Meda, here's the main part. I mean, what does it mean to talk about nidvas, the zirus, right? And the daba is when you say harei zu, and the zochi v'achrayis, and so it's both immediate, and you know it's you know it is the creation of the chepsa shel nidava as opposed to being a chovas agabra, right? A two-stage process. But you don't have that in nazir, so the Ram says something sensational. I mean, it's a problem that all the rishonim have to deal with. Near Be'enai, so this is a whole different take. Again, what he does with the language in the Gemara of Takala, right, is not clear. Probably it has to be Muvla, I'm guessing, speculating. It has to be Muvla under the Ro'i V'Rotsui Yoser part. Meaning, basically, so again, what is the Ram basically saying?
He's saying that the Harizu and Hari Alai are outgrowths of the fact that there is certain avenues of Nether that are more virtuous.
Spiritually virtuous, or, very good, virtuous, or admirable, spiritually admirable than others. Meaning this has to do with the, you know, who's making the commitment, and I guess the motive behind the commitment, and how you perceive this vis-a-vis, you know, the rest of the system, or one of those three, or all three of them, hard to know, right? So once you say that, so let's just go back to the discussion. So what does Takala have to do with it? The Gemara does say something about Takala. Maybe what you'd have to say is that, you know, the elimination of Takala, you know, is a shiur in the, you know, in your shamayim, I guess, and more specifically in the particular, you know, goal that you want to accomplish, or what, you know, you're suffused with, like this, you know, orientation of being ratsui with Nei Hashem. So you're not going to do that, you know, if it, you know, puts you in some sort of a jeopardy. So the takala isn't the takala per se. The takala is a shiur in the, you know, in this, you know, more lishma, if you will, or more ratsui, which is fascinating, correct? But once you do that, then it opens up the whole discussion for a mayor and for a Yehuda. Namely, we said that, you know, the distinction between neder and adava and the simple pshat of the Gemara of takala makes it seem like, you know, this is all a pragmatic question. It's a cost-benefit, you know, an actuarial, right? Yeah. Kind of a, you know, transaction, correct? And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But once we say that the pshat in the Nedarim and Adava, although, again, it also reflects the Takala question, you know, and the immediacy and so on and so forth, but it's really a shiur in, like, a muchach mitocho, kind of a more lishma, but I was saying before, maybe, you know, again, why you're doing it, you know, what the implications of doing it are, or maybe the difference, as I said, between tweaking, you know, and changing or altering, or the implication, you know, that the system is insufficient, as opposed to, you know, I want to embrace it and immerse myself in it even more. Like, once that's the issue, you know, then it could be that really everything shifts, meaning what Rav Meir is saying is mostly, Like, there's no room, you know, nadar mar b'di'evet. Like, you know, if you have to work on your issues, if you do them, you have to, you know, fulfill them. But they're inherently, you know, nidrei rishayim. And, you know, or maybe the only way to, you know, to redeem them would be, you know, in an extreme way. But default, you know, they're negative because the implications are negative, and maybe psychologically the motivation is, you know, perceived as negative, whatever the case, you know, may be. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's just a takala problem, and that's why there's a difference between dharm and the dhammas. But now we can say that, no, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right, Rabbi Meir, I totally agree. But I still think that there's room to distinguish between qualitatively, again, spiritually more virtuous, to use your phrase, nadarim, like nadavos, even if it isn't technically a nadava, right, and nadarim. So the Gemara originally thought, the way to read the Gemara according to this view of the Ran, is that that's a distinction within Rav Meir. But for Rav Yehuda, you know, there's no problem whatsoever. And then the Gemara says, no, it's actually a distinction within Rabbi Yehuda. Right? And maybe Rabbi Meir doesn't even see anything. Or he does, but he doesn't think that Nadava, you know, per se, accomplishes. Yeah, you had a question from a while you've been very patient.
According to your second explanation that Rabbi Yehuda was about, like, kind of what do you have to do, is Rabbi Meir was more fundamental, and it's like a balance of Torah Hashem and Torah Shlema, etc. But even according to Rabbi Meir, the idea of Nadarim, so while then would his Lashon be
Russia?
Say
it again?
Even according to Rabbi Meir, right. It's not about a downside risk, but it's more about the fundamental idea of Torah is complete and doesn't need our vision.
Right.
So in that Torah that he thinks is complete, there still is the mitzvah that he evidenced something of.
I mean, how could it even exist at all?
Correct. So
well, I know. I mean, right. So maybe because, you know, people, you know, occasionally, you know, do need to, you know, to, maybe there's an acknowledgement that, you know, in extreme situations, you know, you do need to tweak, but that fundamentally the institution, or default, the institution is negative. Right. But it's there because, A, people still have a choice, maybe it's part of the Bechira, even if it isn't great, you know, but you can, you know, I guess it would, if it was totally destructive, I think this is what you're asking, then it shouldn't exist at all. Because if we, that's drastic. If we want to present this in the harshest of terms, or in the most, you know, extreme, you know, way, so then it's pella that there is such an institution, right? It's like, you know, bakarta b'chayim, you know, or there's the bracha on the klala. You're not allowed to choose the klala, meaning, I mean, you could as a human being, but you can't halachically. That's drastic. So I think it's a good question. So I think you're right. You do have to say, according to Rabbi Meir, that, when, you know, like under, but I think the point is that that's never the norm. It's there for the unusual circumstance, and therefore you have to kind of really search your conscience, you know, always to, you know, to justify that, and we're always a little skeptical about it. But I think you're right, you know, if it was totally destructive, it just wouldn't exist. I don't think there's like, oh, well, it's free choice, and therefore there has to be free capacity, you know, to generate your own, you know, additions. Right. I think that's true. So let me get back to, having said that, let's take a step back for a moment, because now we're seeing that there are different perspectives. Right. So, as I say, you know, when we start up, typically, I mean, there are, and I think this goes to the heart of your question, too, even for Rabbi Meir. Basically, we're asking for Rabbi Meir, maybe it's just a technical problem, and for Rabbi Yehuda, maybe it still is a fundamental problem, or maybe that's their machlokas on some level. But on the one hand, you have, you know, I'm just repeating, like, the fact. On the other hand, you have, like, a very stark, you know, Mishnah, as far as I'm concerned, like Nidrei Rasha, Nidrei, you know, Kasher, right? If it ends up being just about risk, right, that's a little surprising. I mean, maybe it shows you that if you take risks, you know, with, you know, spiritual, with your spiritual health, you know, that's really something that is tremendously, you know, unacceptable, you know, even if it's just because of the risk, you know, and not because fundamentally there's anything wrong. And by the way, if that resonates, you know, with you, with us, you know, it should, right? Because, again, there are many things in our lives and in the lives of Klal Yisrael and Dorei Doros that, you know, in theory were, you know, acceptable, meaning permissible, acceptable, and even had, you know, a constructive and an ambitious, you know, payoff, but, you know, because they came, you know, also with risk, that, you know, the attitude in Chazal or some of the poskim of their time, you know, in some cases were, chaval, you know, this would be a good thing to do, but, or you shouldn't do it even though, and sometimes you'd get a very much sharper, you'd say, well, this is Nidrei Rishonim, how can you take that risk? You know what I'm saying? So, I think either way, what I'm saying is, the language of Nidrei Rishonim sounds like this is inherently, works better if this is inherently a bad thing. And that doesn't mean that it can't, in some cases, be constructive, getting back to your question, but it's important to know that that's default. And not to know that, or it's not to treat it that way, with the right amount of investment of thought and effort and reflection and so on, isn't just a mistake and a potential takala, but it's important to know that that's rishus. Like that, again, those are strong words. Sometimes, like I say, that's what I'm saying, these are resonating, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, this, that, or the next, involvement in society, you know, intellectual involvement in, you know, in certain areas and disciplines. Like, these are, you know, these are serious topics. It's not just, oh, it's good, it has a payoff, it can be good. You have to also, you know, integrate, you know, the actuarial part of it. So instead of the actuarial part kind of being just a technical, you know, and more, you know, less emotional part, you know, sometimes since it highlights, you know, risk aversion or risk taking can reflect, you know, who you are. Like I was saying, even for the Ran shot in the Dava, you know, how do you read the Gemara? So I'll say that about this, you know, too. Like the Gemara says, you know, the Chazal say in Avos, and the Ram codifies it in a clear way, you know, that a person shouldn't say, l'kesha efne, you know, eshne. Am I saying that right? I would sometimes, you know, it's like those things that you always get wrong. L'kesha efne, you know, eshne, you know, so sometimes they say, shema lo tipane. And the way the Rambam formulates it, Hokas Talmud Torah, is that, you know, you, if you do that, you don't have, you vadai, shema lo tipane, and therefore you vadai don't have, you know, a kinyan, you know, in the Keser Torah. That always struck me. I think it's really important. I mean, why not say safek? You know, shema lo tipane, and therefore, you know, it's a safek, you know, kinyan of the Keser Torah. But I think the idea is, sometimes when you're willing to take a risk on certain things, then it reflects that, you know, there's something wrong or off about your, you know, your value system. Otherwise, you couldn't take that risk. You wouldn't take a risk, you know, to lose your fortune, you know. So why are you taking this risk to lose your spiritual, you know, gems? That's the idea of Siag LaTorah. It's not like, oh, Chazal, you know, the Chachamim, the Dorei Doros, they wanted to complicate your life, you know, and impose, you know, more, like, what's in it for them? You know, but it's exactly what it's supposed to be. Meaning it's, this is something precious, and therefore sometimes, again, you have to know when to build the walls and when not to build the walls. Sometimes a Siag LaTorah is a detrimental thing, as Avos Rav Nosson tells us on Asu Siag LaTorah. Sometimes, you know, the wall, you know, that you build, you know, kind of, masks, you know, and basically distances you from your goal. But the purpose of it is to highlight that this is something precious that you don't want to jeopardize. You play fast, and it's like, I'm willing to gamble. Not willing to gamble with your fortune, but you're willing to gamble, you know, with the Torah's, you know, Isurim. So then, and I think that's what the Rambam means. That is antithetical to the Keser Torah. Because if you really, when you say, you know, L'kisha Efne Eshne, like you wouldn't say that about, you know, missing the Super Bowl. Or maybe rugby. Okay. So I didn't even say soccer. I said rugby. That was pretty good. Okay. So I think that's part of the idea here. That's part of the idea. Where risk, so again, Nidre Rasha. So either Nidre Rasha means this is just bad, default, you know, although again, I think what you're saying is a good Hara. There has to be situations, you know, where it's beneficial. We'll get to the other statements in a moment. Or maybe it isn't bad default, but, you know, it's a huge risk, you know, until you know that you've built in enough, you know, there's enough counter pressure, you know, to be doing this. And Nidre Rasha is a strong statement. And the connection to Takala, and then the question whether Takala itself is a she or Takala is the entire story, that's an interesting perspective. We say Kedoshim Tiyu, Kadesh Atzmacha, you know, b'mutar lach. That's Kedoshim Tiyu. That's like embracing, you know, Kedusha. So Kadesh Atzmacha b'mutar lach sounds like it is an affirmation, and certainly is how some people understand, you know, Nedarim. Right? And the Mishnah says in Nedarim, I'm sorry, the Mishnah says in Avos, Gimel Yid Gimel, you know, that Nedarim are a siag, you know, for precious, right? Something that the Rambam quotes prominently. We'll get to the Rambam in a few minutes, I hope, or if not, when we finish this Sunday. In the end of Hilchos Nedarim, right? So that also seems to be saying that Nedarim are constructive. No one argues with that Mishnah, presumably not even Rav Meir, and not the Rishonim who embrace, as we'll soon see, you know, the skeptical view or even the negative view of Nedarim. So again, it supports your idea, and that is that, you know, there's still a role for Nedarim. But again, one which, you know, you want, depending on your perspective, you know, you're only going to, you know, pursue, you know, in very select circumstances and not cavalierly. It's not like, oh, let's make a couple in the dark. It's certainly not as a Yoharab, you know, where, you know, it doesn't fit to your lifestyle, the way I understand Yoharab, or it's a psychological overcompensation that kind of gives you the excuse, you know, to do other things. That, Bikitsur, I'm sure I've said it many times here. That's my view on Yohara. Yohara is not stamachomra. Yohara is something that is out of whack. It doesn't, you know, doesn't cohere, you know, with who you are. And that's always a very dangerous thing. It's always good to try to upgrade your spirituality and your religiosity. Of course, that's part of religious growth, and that's something that is always encouraged. But if you do it in ways that don't make sense or that don't fit who you are, or who you are right now, or are not consistent with other things that you're doing. I'm not saying, oh, you're not perfect, therefore, you know, don't try to be perfect in any area. That's not what I'm saying. There's a fine line between these two things. What I am saying is that sometimes when your imperfections are either glaring or they're more elemental, so, you know, being, you know, perfect, you know, in some narrower or more exotic, you know, area, you know, can be a problem. Can just be, you know, as I say, not coherent, or in some cases, psychologically, even if it isn't cynically, a way of, you know, kind of allowing for the abuses, you know, by virtue of your other credentials. So you have to be careful with all that. On the other hand, you know, siag, the darm is a siag, laprisha. And then you have that Gemara in the Darin that we and of Chesem Nalev, you know, that, you know, Lizruze Napshe. Although, again, it's easier to say Lizruze Napshe in a case which is already Mujba V'Yomid Mer Sinai, and where the Nedarim isn't creating a new reality, but is simply reinforcing your sense of obligation to the halakhic system as is. Even the Rav Kaddish Atzmucha B'Mutar Lach, which is sometimes quoted even in the context of Nedarim, but let's just remember what it is, Kedoshim Tio, again, Ramban, especially, in Parshas Kedoshim, who says that, you know, Kaddish Atzmucha B'Mutar Lach doesn't mean, you know, make Nedarim and add foreign or spiritualized, you know, neutral areas. What it really, really means is Al Tehi Naval Birshas HaTorah. I mean, be consistent. You know, there's the elemental obligations, and of course, first you have to relate to them as obligations themselves, and then beyond that, you know, there's the values that they, you know, inculcate, you know, within you. Again, this relationship that we were talking about in Hashkafa Shir for the last few times, and we'll try to do at least one more, between, you know, the Maisa Mitzvos, the things that you do, and you know, your intellectual world, and your moral world, your value world, you know, the things that you cultivate, you know, the attitudes, you know, and the policies, and the persona that you cultivate and develop. So to say about that, Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar Lach, and even to use Nedarim to accomplish that, we'll get to the Rambam soon, Rambam uses language like that when he talks about the, you know, the constructive parts of Nedarim, you know, about shaping your worldview, you know, about either overcompensating, you know, when you've gone off the Derech HaMelech, or Rambam is very meduyak in the languages that he, in the extra words that he slips into this whole topic. Again, we'll have to sum up on Sunday, but all of that is different than, like, you know, Nedarim or even Karbanos, although there might be a difference between Stam Nedarim and Karbanos too, as we discussed, that are kind of more free, you know, flowing and not, you know, the reaffirmation or the reinforcement of, or even the extension or the you know, kind of philosophy, you know, or hashkafa of the halakha itself, but that are really kind of separate factors. And especially if they don't relate, you know, in some clear way into who you are and what you need to be doing, the tweaking part, then it's more like, you know, I want to embrace some other, you know, methodology, let's say, of spirituality. So that becomes a negative. Now, it's a very subtle, fine line. As I said, tweaking and altering, you know, reinforcing and creating alternatives, you know, very fine line. And that's why you have a lot of these religious wars, you know, we always have from the very beginning. And they're sad. Like, you wish that there would be achdus for Klal Yisrael. You know, but, you know, some of the wars have to do with people willing to take risks if they shouldn't. In some cases, it's, you know, how they, in some cases, sincerely, you know, seek to personalize, widen, deepen, in some cases, personalize their spiritual world. So in some cases, it's fine and it's neutral, and in some cases, it's constructive, and in other cases, it's disastrous. You know, it's like Baltosif to Baltigra, basically. Baltosif, you know, you can see from the trap, that, you know, when we say Kalabosif Gorea, we don't just mean, even though Baltosif is the opposite of Baltigra, nonetheless, you know, it's also us or just as bad. What it really, really means is that being Bosif is often being Gorea, because the implication of the authority of the Rabbona Shel Olam, you know, is, you know, if it's not his, then it's yours, therefore you can be Bosif. So then that, you know, kind of raises questions about the core part, you know, unless it doesn't, unless it's an extension, and again, you need some justification. One man's, you know, Baltosif is another man's Zekeli Vandeyu. Not really, but I'm saying you need to, you need to know what that's really all about. Halacha is very, very clear, the parameters of these things. But again, that's relevant to the question of Nedarim. So, you know, the Zrizin part on the existing things, or the Kedoshim Tiyu, Alti Naval B'Shus HaTorah, you know, those are in the clear. Or what the Rambam calls, you know, Tikkun Amidos, or getting you back, you know, to the Derech HaMelech, Nedarim Siag, you know, Leprishus, or Nedarim, which fits into the existing category of Precious, Muslim C. In the Rambam Nichol Simas Ochlin, is like into Precious. You know, that, you know, Maimar, which became this, you know, the basis for the Mitzvah Sisharim. Rambam thinks that, you know, Precious is a good thing. And that's why, you know, again, this is actually relevant to our topic of Chulin Shinas Al Taras HaKodesh, and, you know, whether there's a legitimate, you know, kiyum, you know, in being Shomer Tahara, and the question of what things yes and what not, and again, how consistent is it, you know, with the rest of your behavior. But actually, these are all interconnected topics. Sorry. Or good. Either way. Yeah. So, on the other hand, so these are the positive sides, you know, the Mishnabos and you know, Kaddish B'Mutar and Zrizin. And then you have Nidrei Rishayim, as we've been discussing. And then you also have the line in the Gemara Chav Beisam and Aleph, which you have yet to mention. Yoni, Chav Beisam and Aleph, the Darim, see it?
Yeah.
An unforgettable Maimer Chazal. Yeah, comparing a no dare, you know, to somebody who creates a bama, right? And not a bama b'shas at their bamas, right? So that, you know, again, that's a very extreme formulation. And has a certain connotation, like Rishayim, of being not just like, oh, it's the wrong thing, like, it's not a good thing to do. You know, it's a risky proposition. That's why I like the view that the risky element ends up being more than risky, given the implications of the risk. Not that everybody should be risk-averse. Many things you shouldn't be risk-averse. Okay. So Ke'ilu, you know, Bama has, again, you know, we've been discussing this. You know, it's, as the Ran puts it, it's like Shkutei Chutz. Shkutei Chutz is an illegitimate, you know, it's not like, oh, I want more korbanos. Right? It's V'shas Iser Bamos. And the connotation of being bona bama is like a barazara, practically, Shkutei Chutz. You know, it's an alternative that undermines, it's a slap in the face, you know, to the Makom HaMikdash and to the legitimate, you know, world of Akravas Karbanos, which is such a kashya, you know. So, again, we talked a little bit about, you know, the role of Heter Bamos, you know, in terms of you know, those psukim and, you know, Basa Taiva the Midbar and so on and so forth. But Ke'ilu Bona Bama, and then you have that line in the Yerushalmi that the Ran quotes. Yoni? You have that Ran there anyway? That's a good thing to read. Including the Yerushalmi that he quotes. A little louder, just say.
Yeah.
Near Bainai.
Near Bainai, do a hockey without me not along with Gordon Bala, because the Sally got died, is no there to Mitzvah Ka'avi, Rahmana Asher, and really to be sure. You now be a father and Asher, and Ka'amar Tai, the other Abba.
Meaning he thinks he's doing a good thing. Those are what, that's what I'm talking about religious wars, you know. They, that's where the passions, you know, get incited, you know, because there are people often motivated, you know, very sincerely. Right? They're not trying to undermine or undercut. Go ahead.
In the Hebrew Akhmana, as part of a group of Karbanos, this means, as part of the low, 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 low,
Oh, so again, it's a kind of an interesting line, right? You could say, you know, that it's my, your idea, meaning, you know, first comes first. And not just like in as priority, but in a much more fundamental way, because when you skip steps and you ignore, you know, the concentric circles, then it's a whole different chalos. You know, just like we're talking about, you know, the relationship between, you know, common dinim of Klal Yisrael and Bnei Noach. But if you don't have the whole, but by definition they're also different, and sometimes the differences are more accentuated, you know, when they seem to overlap, because the whole context is different, and the whole connection to other things is different. So it's, again, it's like kolamosiv. Number one, you can't ignore, you know, the primary, the elemental things, the basic things. If you do, it's not just, oh, you did a wrong thing, or you're very exuberant. You might be exuberant, but it's a dangerous exuberance, you know, that leads, a foolhardy exuberance that can lead to skewing, you know, the whole system. Because it's built on balance, both the implication of tzivui and samchut and authority, but also the interconnection, the part. Again, like, to use the, you know, the Taryag Mitzvos Ramach Evarim Shasa Gidim homeostasis model. You know, so you know, you might think, you know, that you're benefiting yourself, or, you know, but you're really challenging your healthy equilibrium, your spiritual healthy equilibrium. You know, Lo Dayecha B'Mesha Amra Torah. You know, so you're creating your own Torah in a way. So it's both what you've done to the rest, or implied about it, its authority, its integrity, its, you know, effectiveness, as well as the illegitimacy in some cases of what you're adding because of the way that you're adding it. You know, so it ends up being like an alternative, a personal spirituality or whatever. And then, you know, there are all sorts of psychological issues, like, why are you doing this? Right? Yeah, go ahead. So Lo Dayecha means, again, it's fascinating. The Rambam, as we'll see, let's talk to the Rambam next time, but the Rambam Shmona Prakim likes the Yerushalmi a lot. He doesn't necessarily think that that's the Pshat in Kilabot Obama, but he likes it a lot. Yeah. Are we done with the Rambam? Yeah. It's like Bakar Bakutz. That's so you have Nidra Rishayim, you have Bama. In Parshas Matos, it's fascinating that the Torah introduces, some of the dinim of Hatar Sadarim and Darim in general. So the Mefarshim there, we'll talk a little bit about next time also very quickly, are troubled by, number one, the role of Rashi Matos seems to be out of proportion relative to the role of Talmid Chachamim or Rashi Matos in other dinim. It seems excessive. A lot of the Mefarshim. So some of the Mefarshim explain it more practically, and that is that, you know, the category when it comes to Atar Sadarim is the Yachid Mumcha. The Beis Din basically is in play. That's why when you do Ataras Nedarim, right, there's no problem of Krovim and so on. Right? According to the Poskim, there's a problem of Nashim still. We talked about that once also, because it is a kind of a Dayan, but it's not, the primary category is Yochid Mumcha, and the three Dayanim Hedyotim are B'mokom Yochid Mumcha, which is the opposite of what it is in the Sanhedrin. In the Sanhedrin, it's really been in Beis Din. You know, and you can also get a horah, or some people think a chefta shel bezim, but more likely for the Rambam, at least a horah, al yidei yachid mumcha. But the prime category is the Beis Din. Anyway, so some people say that's why, you know, that's why the Rashi Matos are so, because they're the ones who are matir nedarim. They have like a special status here, and I'm adding on the lambda side of it Moreover, it, you know, it's each Rosh Ma, it's a din in Yachid Mumcha. It's not even just a din in Bez. But not everybody agrees that that's a sufficient explanation. And even if it is a part of the explanation, maybe there's, like, as we said before, sometimes an explanation can be correct, but there's more to it, or, you know, it's the bigger picture of what that reflects. That's number one. Number two, interestingly, is that the Mefarshim in the beginning of Matos point out, again, a lot of them, or Chaim, or Sajigo, and others, they all, like, weigh in on these questions, that unlike other, like, chapters or topics in the Torah, it's interesting, you know, that, you know, this is attributed more to, like, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, and the Chachamim, you know, that it's endorsed by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, clearly. And the context of Bal Ta'acher, you know, Nidro, you know, it's clear that, you know, this is biblical law, you know, even earlier. And yet, somehow, there's, like, an impression given that some of Farsim deny completely, vociferously, vehemently, but others kind of embrace, which I think is curious, that, you know, this is, like, a little bit, you know, it's a little bit less than or different than, you know, typical Din Torah. So if you ask me, I would say it highlights this ambivalence, meaning, on the one hand, you know, Nedarim have a very important function in place. I would even say further, the whole Nedarim, even more than Shavuos, represent a kind of chalos, like a world, and these are chafza. So it's like you can create your own Isurim, you know, and then they, with Shavuot, we have it a little bit, but there at least Isur Gabra, but Nedarim, like, you know, the Rabbanu Shalom creates machalos Isur, and you could do it too, with a neder? A chafza shall Isur? It's a very powerful thing. You know, and of course, the positive sides, as we're discussing, you know, neder siag, you know, leprisha, and, you know, lezruze, you know, and the other things. Clearly, when it comes to, you know, karbanos, sometimes very much considered to be a positive thing. And at the same time, you know, nidra rishayim, kiva bonabama, you know, lodayacha. So I think that, you know, A, the role of, like, advisory chachamim, not only in Hataras Nedarim, but in Nedarim generally, and the idea that, like, you know, this is like a gray area in the halacha. You know, of course it's din Torah, but it's an ambivalent din Torah, or a din Torah to be applied, you know, carefully, selectively, wisely, you know, with an awareness, you know, that there are, not cavalierly, you know, but that there are, like, there are important issues here. So I think that explains, I'm not going to go right now into the Parsha Nut and Parsha Matos, you know, you can look it up, or we can do it another time, but, you know, Bal Ta'acher, the relationship between Nedarim, certain types of Nedarim, and the Regalit, in my opinion, could be connected, just as I was suggesting, and for the same reason, that I was suggesting that Kol Nidre, you know, again, resonated so, you know, so profoundly with Klal Yisrael. It's such a strange thing. You know, and Yom Kippur. That's because the regalim are about emphasizing different motifs. You know, different times. You know, we just came off of Sukkot. We came off of Shemini Atzeres, which, you know, was a complement and a contrast to Sukkot, both of which were complement and contrast, you know, achach to Yom Kippur, you know, which was, you know, one unit with, but a progression from Rosh Hashanah. You get the idea. The point is that all the Mikroi Kodeshes delineate, right, different emphases in Avodas Hashem. You know, Kulo Hashem, Kulo Lachem, Chatzi Chatzi, but Chatzi Chatzi is also expressed in different ways. That's part of the beauty of, that's why the Chagim are just, you know, they're just so compelling and so enriching and, you know, so inspiring. It's true in the world of Karbanos too, interestingly enough, right? In Karbanos, the different Karbanos are different configurations in Avodas Hashem. An Ola is called El Hashem, you know, the Shlamim, you know, even less, Kachim Kalim, on a different spectrum. We talked a little bit about Korban Pesach when we were talking about, you know, Shechita, and of course, again, Shlomim, and Chatas, and Asham. Again, I don't want to get into the details, but so the idea that, you know, Nedarim have a special Bal Ta'acher connection with the Regalim, as well as Yom Kippur, and especially with the Gimel Regalim. And we'll see him again next week, Sunday, when we finish off, we'll talk about the Ramban and the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, but, you know, whether it's really one din or not, but, and special din connection with the Karbanos, with the world of Karbanos, I don't think is a coincidence. It's all about, you know, handling. So again, we're going to have to stop, but I think one approach, just to sum up, is it's all just about Takala. The Nedarim are good, the Nedarim are positive. You know, these fears or the negative side are not really what's going on in the Sugya. Not in the Psukim, not in the Psukim in the Torah, not in the Psukim in Koheles, not in Rav Meir, not in Rav Yehuda. It's all just about, you know, the actuarial thing, the Takala part, right? And then the question is, what about Nadava? Is there any Takala there too, right? Even Rabbi Yehuda's Mitzam same, but that's misleading. Even Rabbi Meir, you know, would have, you know, joined, you know, his view had he been sufficiently, you know, convinced that there's, you know, a way to neutralize sufficiently the risk. So that's one approach. And then we have the other approach, and that is that, you know, this isn't just about risk. Either that's goof of the argument, whether it's about risk or about something more fundamental, or that even Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's more fundamental, especially in light of the Ran, but there's a difference between the Darim and the Davos. Technically, in some cases, and the Dava as a category, you know, of Ratsui, Yoser, you know, etc., also reflected, because you can't ignore the risk, it's a Furish Gemara. So, and the Ram's saying this for the Nedarim Gemara, he's not saying it for Hulin. So again, my idea about sometimes risk assumption being a shiur in your values, right? And maybe Rabbi Yehuda agrees more with Rabbi Meir, or Gufa, they argue. Then comes the question, you know, so like default, is it good, but even if it's not just the risk, meaning you're good, but you have to really be careful, or, you know, the default is, you know, the tosif, it's shkutei chutz, it's bama, you know, but, and again, I totally agree with you, there has to be a but there, because it isn't just, oh, the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed man to be kote here. Clearly, the statements that, you know, whether it's the Mishnah Avos or the Lizruza, again, although I think that they are understood in the context, you know, they do for sure highlight that it can be. So what are the actual shitos themselves? So what I want to do next time is talk briefly about tosas here. Especially, I want to talk about the two days of the Ramban here, the Kiddush Ramban I gave a look at, right? And talk a little bit more, especially about the Ramban and Sefer Mitzvos a little bit, but especially about the very, you know, balanced and intriguing view of the Ramban, which again fits into basically not going to be so mechudash anymore, but the words that he adds, you know, clearly what he's after. In the end, in Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Aleph, and at the end of Nedarim, the end of Nazir, the end of Erechin, in Pirshim Shnayis and Avos and Shema Prakim. Okay, and we'll finish up, and then we'll go to the. So we'll finish up on Sunday. One way or another. Welcome back, to everybody. Oh, we are going to start our meeting. I know we didn't.
Your phone. Thank you.